Good morning. So our topic today, as we continue in the Rambam, in the book of Mada, Sefer Mada, we're moving to the second section, Hilchos Deos. As you can see, we're moving slower than I originally anticipated. But you know what? Time flies when you're having fun, they say. That's it. So this is great. And I want you to know I have learned a tremendous amount, because I've never been, I'm still not a philosopher, that's not my thing, but I've learned quite a bit in preparing and learning and reading, and we'll mention some of the works, some of the philosophers. But if you look on the cover page, I have here a little sketch that came from a New York Times article that we're going to come back to later. I'm not going to tell you what it is and what the article was that it came from, but look at it for a moment.
The breastplate.
Oh, that's right.
12 things.
That's right. The Chilushin. But our goal today, as we think about Hilchos Deos, which is hard to translate, is to learn about ourselves and to learn about how to guide our lives and inspire our lives. And this picture is going to capture some of what we'll hopefully come back to at the end.
So figure out how that one guy got to be happy.
Okay, good. So we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll figure it out. So if you go to the first page, before we even open the book of Hilchos Deos, I want to introduce it with some background. A Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis on page 1. The Gemara tells us the following. There is a pasuk. Every day we say it in the Pesukei Dezimra from the Shiras Hayam. Ze keli va'anvehu. This is my God. Ve'anvehu. What does the word ve'anvehu mean? That's a difficult word to translate. So Targum Onkelos says that it comes from the word naveh, which means a dwelling. So ve'anvehu means I will build a Beis HaMikdash, a place to dwell. Then the Gemara says ve'anvehu comes from the word noi, so you should beautify your observance. But then the Gemara offers a third possibility in the underline. Abba Shaul Omer. Ve'anveu have domelo. Have domelo. You should be similar to him. What does that mean? Mahu chanun verachum. Just as he is. So chonain means to give something without a measure. Like a freebie. Kikel chanun verachum. Chanun means vo'es chanan. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking for, you know, pleading comes from the word, same word as chanun, like to be very gracious, just give it away. And rachum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate. So, af ata heyei chanun v'rachum. You should also be chanun v'rachum. This, according to the Gemara, comes from the word ve'anvehu. Now, there is a similar Gemara, which I didn't put in your packet, appears in the end of the first parak of Maseches Sota, where the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achare Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, you should follow in the ways of Hashem. What does that mean? How can you follow the ways of God? It says God is Esh Ochla, God is a fiery entity. He's a fiery being. So of course you can't follow in the ways of God. So what does it mean? So the Gemara tells us, it's Lahalech Achar Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like God is Malbish Arumim, He clothes the naked, so you should also. Just like God is Mavakar Cholim, you should also. Just like God is Kover Mesim, you should also. And that's the reason why the Gemara raises this discussion, because it's talking about the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So who buried Moshe? So the Gemara says, the Rabbeinu Shalom buried him, whatever that means, Kiviyachol. So he says, just like he does it, you should do it also. Okay, so this is spelled out very directly in the Sifri on page 2. So the Sifri, which is a Medrash Halacha, here in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah tells us, Laleches b'chol derachav, to walk in all of his ways. Eilu darkei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As it says, Shenemar, Hashem Hashem, Keil Rachum v'chanun, Erech Apayim v'rav chesed v'emes, Notzer chesed la'alafim, Nosei avon v'fesh v'chata'av v'nakei, which is familiar to us. Those are the 13 attributes. So we should walk in those ways. So then he quotes a pasuk in Yoel, one of 12 minor prophets, Kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimaleit, v'chi eich efshar lo la'odam likro b'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be that you are going to be called the name of God? It's not possible. What does that mean? So the Medrash says, I'll tell you what it means. And this is the context, L'leches b'chol d'rachav. Elamah ha-makom nikra rachum v'chanun, just like God is called rachum, compassionate, and chanun, gracious, af atah have rachum v'chanun, va'asei matnas chinam lakol. And give people gifts, matnas chinam, like chanina, give them chinam. That's why the word chanina is the root of the word in Hebrew, it's clemency, pardon. That's chanun. You're just giving somebody clemency. And then the Gemara, the Medrash goes on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra tzadik. Because it says, tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rachav v'chazuch ha-masav, afata heye tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra chosid, afata heye chosid, etc. So we have two different psukim, either zekei leva'anveyu or v'halachta b'drachav, two different formulations, the Gemara in Sota and the Sifri, who are telling us the principle of imitatio Dei. Sounding like a shtickle philosopher, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but that's the phrase that means to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I ring this up because if you look on the next page, here we are in Hilchos Deos. And here the Rambam tells us that there are 11 mitzvos in Hilchos Deos. 5 positive mitzvos and 6 negative mitzvos. Vizehu Pirtan, and this is their enumeration. What is the first one? Number one, Aleph, Lehidamos Bidrachav, to imitate Domeh in the ways of Hashem. Then the Rambam gives you, let's just outline the other 10, Lehidavek Biyodav, to connect to those who know Hashem. That's Dibuk Tamid Chachamim, which, by the way, is the next passage in the Sifri. And this reminds us the fact that the Rambam very often bases himself on Midrashim, sometimes even in contradistinction to Gemaras. So here, for example, the Rambam is following, and we'll see it carefully, the Rambam is following the formulation of the Sifri more so than the Gemara. Okay. Gimel, Le'ahov es harayim. What mitzvah is that? What pasuk is that going to come from? That's right. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Le'ahov es hagerim. What's that? Avas hager, loving converts. Shelo lisno achim, not to hate others, brothers. Nvav lehochiach, the word lehochiach means to rebuke or to clarify. 7, shelo lahalbim ponim, not to embarrass or shame. Ches lo la'anos umlolim, not to persecute those who are downtrodden. 9, shelo lahaloch rachil, not to say lashon hara. Yud, it's vernacular. Yud shelo linkom, and yud aleph shelo lintor, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge. Ubir kolamitzus elu b'prakim elu. So now we're going to explain all of these mitzvos in the following chapters, right? And this fits exactly what we said in the first introductory comments that the Rambam told us he wants to do. He's going to give us the mitzvos, then he's going to explain it to us. So far, so good. So listen to how the Rambam opens Hilchos Deos. He says, "Look, Deos harbe yesh l'kol echad ve'echad. People have different Deos." We'll have to see what the word deos means. Mi b'nei Adam, of people. V'zu mishunu v'zu, urechoku mimena b'yoser. And they're very different from each other. Yesh Adam shu bal chema koes tamim. You have people who are always angry. Those are the mean bosses in the Dilbert comics. They have like always those the squiggly lines around them. They're the guys always with the squiggles. They're always angry. No matter what happens, their mom is always angry. V'yesh Adam shedaito miyusheves olav ve'eno koes klal. And then there are people who are so placid, they're so calm, nothing rattles them. Nothing rattles them. There are certain, you give a mashal, today it's a good day to give this mashal because it's mamash chash of a day, the Bears are playing the Packers and it's 0 degrees. So you see certain coaches, there's some on the sideline, if the Rambam heard us doing this, he might not be so happy, but I don't know. You see some coaches, they're throwing the headset, they're stamping their feet, they're cursing, they're always like, they don't want to show their face too much because then the kids will read their lips to figure out what's going on. And then you have some coaches, they just sit there. They just stand there. They're very calm. And if they get angry, it's just a little bit angry. Not very much. Says the Rambam, V'yeshu Adam Shu Gval Leiv B'Yosef. People are very arrogant, Rachman al-Itzlan. V'yeshu Shafal Ruach Ad Ma'od. Then the Rambam says, I'm in the second wide line now, in Halacha Aleph, V'yeshu Bal Taivalo Sizba Nafcho Mehalach B'Ta'avasa. There are some people who never cease to gorge themselves in worldly pleasures of all kinds. V'yeshu Tar Guf B'Yosef Lo Yisav Afil Dvar Ma'atab Shaguf Tzarchlem. And there's some people who are so ascetic, they don't even eat what they're supposed to eat. They don't even drink what they're supposed to drink. You have to really push them. So the Rambam describes these are very far apart different deos. These are, we could call them, character traits, or attitudes, or styles of living, or personality qualities. These are different traits that people have. These are deos. And the Rambam says, now go to Halacha Beis. V'yesh bein kol dea v'dea harachoka mimena. And he goes on further, cruelty and stuff. There is between these, b'katza achar deos beinoni azu rachoka mizu. So the Rambam says, look, you have extremes on both ends. So now Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, shnei kitzovos harachoka zu mizu shebechol dea v'dea einon derech tova. These are not good. The two extremes on each end of living, of deos. Ve'ein royal lo la'adam la'leches behem, lo la'lamdon la'atzmo. You shouldn't cultivate that kind of personality. And if you found that you're like this, you should move away from it. Ha'derech ha'yeshara halacha dalid, himida beinonis. That's the middle. It's the balance. The Rambam says you have different extremes. The goal is to find the median, or the mean, or I don't know which one of those, I forget which one is the right term for this. You have to find the middle ground. So now, over the next, the Rambam has seven chapters. So over the next two chapters, the first two chapters in Hilchos Deos is talking about this, about finding the mean in different aspects of our life. Then the Rambam in chapters 3 and 4 talks about healthy living. So he talks about eating healthy and exercising and all kinds of things. You know, the Rambam, in those days, he didn't talk about smoking, but I assume if the Rambam were living today, he would put in a little sif about not smoking and alcohol or whatever different dangerous things there are. So the Rambam talks about all of them, and in those days, they had different kinds of things. They talked about bloodletting, when is healthy for bloodletting, when is not healthy. Today, we don't encourage bloodletting in general, but it's kol echad lefi, you know, zmano, to follow what the doctors say. Then the Rambam goes to chapter 5, where he talks about the ethics of a Talmud Chacham, how a person carries themselves as a pious, not just pious, just an upstanding, God-fearing type of person, how they dress. They shouldn't look like a slob, and they shouldn't speak in a vulgar language, those kind of things. Then in Perek Vav, the Rambam talks about interactions with others, and that's where he quotes the mitzvos of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, avas geirim, avas, etc. And then in chapter Zion, the Rambam talks about Lashon Hara. So that's the overview, that's the skeleton of Hilchos Deos. So there's a lot to say. There's a very interesting perek when you take a step back for a second, you think about what the Rambam is presenting to us. Because what did we have last time? Last time we had Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. We had the basics of Yados. So we had the basic building blocks of Emunah, the existence of God, the Yichud of God, Kiddush Hashem. And then the next book, after this, the Rambam is going to tell us Hilchos Talmud Torah and Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So it's interesting that the Rambam, in his second book, chose to start with this section. And specifically, the way the Rambam gives this whole long prelude, the Rambam, remember, is telling us the laws of mitzvos. And yet, he starts in Halacha Aleph with this very kind of general picture of, you know, you have a person who's very angry, you have a person who's very calm. What is the Rambam doing? Why does the Rambam feel that it's important to include this in the Yad HaZaka? And specifically, remember, the Rambam is very careful about classification, and why he put it here is interesting. So the Rambam, as we mentioned, we went through it, the Rambam begins with what we might call the golden mean. So now there's a fascinating comment. If you look on the bottom of page, I'll go back to page 3. The Rambam on the bottom, the commentary of the Migdal Oz, you see the first comment of Migdal Oz here, And he summarizes where he says, Perek Aleph, Aleph through Dalet, the first four halachos, he catches them all in one fell swoop. I'm in the bottom section where it says Migdal Oz. Kol ze midivrei chachmei hamusar. All of this are from the words of the ethical teachers, asher lekachu midivrei razal, that they took them from the words of the rabbis, umisholem shehein mufuzarin betalmud asher ein lahem sof, that there's unending mishalim, there are unending parables, stories about this. What's the Migdal Oz saying? He says, wait a second. You should just know, if you go to any local philosophy class, any local ethicist, I don't know if they still have this, but there was a time, Amol, in the New York Times, they had something called the ethicist. There was a column, the ethicist. So you go to the ethicist, and the ethicist will also tell you about this. So first of all, the Migdal Oz says, don't think that we took it from them. Rabbi Yudin, a rabbi from Fairlawn, my rabbi used to say, we had it first. So the Migdal Oz, which is going to get, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, the Migdal Oz is getting into a little bit of a question, where exactly does this idea of the golden mean come from? So the Migdal Oz says, don't think it came from anywhere else. We had it first, it comes from the Gemara. You're thinking it comes from some Greek philosophers, maybe there's some similarities, maybe there isn't, but we had it first, it comes from the Gemara. So it's interesting that the Rambam gives us what the Migdal Oz is identifying as commonplace wisdom. Apparently everybody knows this, so much so that he has to tell you, don't think the Rambam got it from his, you know, I don't know, first grade philosophy class in Cordova, whatever he was, you know. No, the Rambam got it from the Gemara. So why is this important that this should be the beginning? Take a look on the next page. Let's go to page 4. So now the Rambam explains to us, top, what does it mean? Lo ye bal chema noach lechos. Don't be that guy who's constantly angry. Velo kemes, and don't be like a corpse, she'eno margish, that's not sensitive. Ella benoni. Lo yichos ela al davar godol sheroy lechos lov. Now it happens to be that the Rambam is going to tell us in Perek, and later on, that there are certain things that are important to be extremist about. And one is it's important to be extremely humble and extremely patient, which those two go together. They're not easy. But here the Rambam is telling us exactly how to do this. You should make sure to balance right in the middle. And then the Rambam says in Halacha, hey, umishu medaktik al atzmo biyoser v'yisrachek midea beinonis ma'at. Somebody who does a little extra. Don't go too far, but you do a little extra in one direction. Letzadzeh letzadzeh nikra chassid. That's called the way of chassidus. A regular person is supposed to go in the middle. A person who has a little bit extra in terms of an extra of the tohar lev, extra patience, extra magnanimity. You know, there are some people, this is their thing. They go a little extra when it comes to hachnasas orchem. They go a little extra when it comes to being patient or being gracious or being a good listener. The Rambam says,
you could go in either direction.
Yeah. So I'm assuming when zeh or zeh means depending on the midah. I don't think it means to be a fresher is the chassid.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, then the Rambam gives you the punchline. Here's the second to last line on page 4. Umitzuvin anu laleches bidrachim elo habeinonim. We are commanded to walk in these, the middle ways. Veheim hadrachim hatovim v'hayisharim. And these are the good and right ways. Shenemar v'halachta bidrachav. Top of the next page, number 5, halacha vav. Kach lamdu b'perish mitzvah zu. This is how they learned the explanation of this mitzvah. Mahu nikra chanun, af ata heye chanun. Mahu nikra rachum, af ata heye rachum. Mahu nikra kadosh, af ata heye kadosh. And that's how the Nevi'im, the Rambam says, Valderach zu korah Nevi'im lekel, b'chol osan hakinuim, they described Hashem in all of these descriptions. Erech apayim, rav chesed, tzadik v'yashar, tomim, gibor v'chazuk hayotzbem. Why is God described in those terms? Lehodia, to inform you, she'elu drachim tovim v'yisharim, that these are good, proper ways. V'chayav odom lahanig atzma b'hem u'lihidamos k'fichocho. And a person should imitate them, mimic them, to the best of their abilities. So, first of all, if you look carefully at this Rambam, number one, the Rambam did not choose the formulation of the Gemara. He didn't quote the Mishnah, they didn't quote the Gemara about V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but he also didn't go with the Gemara in Sota, because the language of the Gemara in Sota was Mahu malbish arumim af ata. That's not what the Rambam said. The Rambam used the phrase from the Sifri, Mahu nikra rachum. Mahu nikra chanun. What's the difference? In the Gemara it says that God is rachum. And then in the Gemara in Sota it says God does these things. In the Tzfre it says that God is called these things. What's the difference? Right. So that's the next page. If you look on page 6, the Rambam has, I think some call this the negative theology. The Rambam says, we don't know anything about Atzmuso, about God himself. God is Chanun. I don't know about God. You can't define God. Because the minute you start to define him, that means that there is an end. There's a beginning and an end. So if you look on page 6, this was part of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah from last week. Halacha Yer Aleph, V'kevan Shinizbarer, She'eino Gufu Gviya, since God doesn't have a body and a form, Yizbar Shelo Yerlo V'lo Echad Mima Oros HaGuf, nothing can happen. There are no actions or events that happen to God because it doesn't have a form. Lo Chibur V'lo Pirud, no connection and no detachment. V'lo Makom V'lo Mida, no place, no measure. V'lo Aliyah V'lo Yerida, nothing up and down. Lo Yamin V'lo Smol. You can't speak of right and left. You know, we're very big into speaking about God's right and God's left. It doesn't mean it's actually right and left. There is no right or left. And therefore, the Rambam explains, 5 lines later, Lo Kas V'lo Schok, etc., etc. So you can't speak of God being compassionate, because God isn't a being. So therefore, the Rambam chooses the language of the Sifri, which is, he's called compassionate. He's called kind. And what do we? How does the Rambam understand the Gemara? The Rambam understands the Gemara, that the Gemara is speaking in euphemistic terms, which is the way the Rambam understands the Chumash, when it says that God has a finger. God doesn't have a finger. He's speaking b'derech melitza, in the use of a metaphor. Exactly. Okay. So what's interesting, number one, that this is the first step. This is the first mitzvah that the Rambam gives us. But the other thing that's interesting in terms of the presentation here is how the Rambam deals with the mitzvah of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Because the Rambam tucks it away in Perek Vav, where he's discussing, I didn't put it in the packet, but he's just discussing there, after lehidabik b'chachamim, mitzvah al-kol adam lehov kol echad mi-Yisrael, this is chapter 6, mitzvah halacha 3, and you have to speak positively about people, and you have to take care of their honor, and then in halacha dalet, it's avas hager. So that's the way that the Rambam presents it. But it's interesting is that the Rambam mentions the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha in a very different context, but he doesn't put the mitzvah there. The Rambam puts the mitzvah here, tucked away in the back, as opposed to, if you look in the end of Hilchos Avel, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Avel talks about what he says, mitzvah saseh shel devarim levaker cholim. So the Rambam tells you, there is a mitzvah to do biker cholim, and nicham avelim, shiva visits, lehotzi ameis, go to a funeral, and hachnes kala, lelava saorchim, asuk b'chol as iske kvura, all simchas chasav akala, all the things, gemilas chasadim. Look around this room. You have a lot of people who are mahadir in these mitzvahs. There's no measure. There's no max to how you perform kindness for people. And even though they are b'divreim, the Rambam says, so it's interesting. I don't know. If you would have asked me, where would you put, how would you formulate the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? I probably would have said, well, put the V'ahavta l'recha kamocha over here in Hilchos Avel, because that's where you have your practical living. And that's where it's telling you what to do. Not so much tucking it away in Perek Vav over here, where it's about, you know, connecting with rabbis and scholars and sages and loving converts. But the placement is obviously very important. So I think what we're going to try to appreciate here is I notice these trends, but people shared with me some good makoros. So first of all, there is an essay in this volume, so many of us are familiar with our neighbor, Avi Fox. So his father, Zichrono Levracha, Professor Marvin Fox, was a very prominent teacher, philosopher, who was in Ohio State for many years, and then he was in Brandeis. They lived in Boston. You knew them?
I knew in Cleveland.
Oh, in Cleveland. Right. Cleveland. So this is a, you have to ask people from Cleveland. Collected essays on philosophy and on Judaism. So he has an essay that we'll talk about, and he addresses kind of the undercurrent that the Migdal Oz was pointing out, which is, okay, this whole presentation of the Rambam talking about the golden mean, well, don't we know that there's a golden mean from Aristotle? Aristotle has this idea. Well, what's the relationship between the Rambam's presentation and just good old Aristotelian philosophy? So Professor Fox has, and this in the collected essays, the second of the essays is a very long piece. So turn the page, I gave you a little bit. It's called The Doctrine of the Mean in Aristotle and Maimonides. So here he's actually going through to compare what did Aristotle say in the Doctrine of the Mean and what did Maimonides say. So he begins by talking about how Aristotle references everything in the frame of nature. The limitation of nature is the only good ideal. And contrast, says Professor Fox, in striking contrast, Maimonides works here fully inside the Jewish tradition. He readily adopts the outer form of the mean as his theoretical base and principle of examination. But the specific contents of the good life are defined not by way of nature, but by way of the imitation of God. Now, viewed as metaphysically ultimate, Maimonides' God is not truly knowable, except by way of negative attributes, which we already addressed, etc. Go down two lines. The God who is represented as creator, who continues in some manner to make his presence felt in history as well as in nature, is a being whom man can meaningfully hold before himself as an ideal to follow. Next page on the right-hand column in 63, same page. The same principle is set forth in Hilchos Deos. He quotes Shmona Prakim and receives full expression in the guide, where he argues that the Mosaic law is absolutely perfect in the ideal and exact embodiment of true measure, the middle way in all regards. Now, go to the next page, top of page 8. There is, however, more to be considered. We recall that the main interest in ethics, and this is what we're going to talk about in a minute, is the development of the virtuous states of character, not merely the performance of virtuous actions. The latter are derived from the former and are significant especially as outer evidence of a stable moral character. The passages we cited make the Torah the standard of the mean in action, but it is obvious that Maimonides must also provide for the Torah as the standard of the mean with respect to the states of character. This is, in fact, precisely what he does in Hilchos Deos. The ideal of imitatio Dei is concerned primarily with states of character, and these are dispositions which are described as generally in accordance with the middle way. So what the Rambam is saying, says Professor Fox, is that yes, on the outside, the golden mean of Aristotle and the golden mean of the Rambam may look the same on the outside, but on the inside, it's about the frame of reference, which is different. What's in the middle? For the Rambam, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the presence of Hashem, and that expression through Torah that defines what is in the middle. And that is going to be the benchmark by which you measure everything. And so now, the development of character, it's not just some kind of convention. It's actually a religious way of what life.
But he's accidentally saying that if you're it doesn't matter what you do if your intent is pure.
Well, I think you're right in the sense that initially what's going to matter, and maybe this you're already alluding to the fact that maybe this is why the Rambam puts it right at the beginning, right after Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, is that the first thing that a person needs to cultivate is their personality, is a religious personality. Now, you're right. When you get to the later books, if a person is a mazik, so then that's no good. If a person doesn't do bikur cholim, that's no good. But at its core, What the Rambam is telling you, and it's so, like when you think about it after you realize, wow, it's so amazing. What the Rambam is telling you is that there is a religious principle of a halachta bedrachav that's meant to define and shape our personality. That is at the heart of what you talk about in terms of the mean. And this can now be understood as the building blocks for the whole book of the whole section of Hilchos Deos. Because the Rambam starts out with the golden mean, and then he talks about healthy living. Only after that does he start talking about the V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Why? Because there's something that comes before Bikur Cholim and Nicham Avelim. And what's that? That's personal character cultivation. So take a look on the next page. This is the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. And they introduce us to this, perhaps what we can call the principle that the Rambam is articulating for us, called virtue ethics. Virtue ethics is currently one of three major approaches in normative ethics. And don't think this is out of date. It was just revised December 8th. Mamish, hot off the press. Okay. I found this when I was looking for it. Let's be honest. I don't read the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy on a regular basis. But it's nice that it's fresh. It may initially be identified as one emphasizes the virtues or moral character, in contrast to the approach that emphasizes duties or rules, deontology, I hope that's the way it's pronounced, or that emphasizes the consequences of actions, consequentialism. Suppose it is obvious that someone should be in need of help. Someone in need should be helped. A utilitarian will point to the fact that the consequences of doing so will maximize well-being. A deontologist to the fact that in doing so, the agent will be acting in accordance with a moral rule such as do unto others as you would be done by, and a virtue ethicist to the fact that helping the person would be charitable or benevolent. So you have one view in Chazal that we could say is deontological. Chazal tells us the pasuk tells in Parshas Re'e, Ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecho Hashem Elokecha. You should give tzedakah, which, by the way, does not mean charity. The word tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, means it's the right thing to do, it's the proper thing to do, it's the just thing to do. It's not just charitable. You have to do it, you must do it. So why should you give tzedakah? Ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecho Hashem Elokecha. So Chazal say the word biglal, the word literally biglal means because of. Therefore, you give tzedakah, and Hashem will bless you. But the Gemara says something else, that biglal comes from the word galgal. What is galgal? That's right. What goes around comes around. So the Gemara says, Rachmana litzlan, even if a person may be very well to do in this life, maybe their children, maybe their great-grandchildren, somebody down the road, anias and ashiras is a galgal achozeb olam, so somebody will need it. So therefore, you should do for somebody else, you should give them tzedakah, because maybe one day, you know, our own, God forbid, our own children, our own descendants will be in need of tzedakah. So Rav Shechter develops this, Rav Shechter in one of the essays, talking about the chiyuv and the obligations bein adam l'chaveiro. And this is one way of looking at it. That's one approach in Chazal. We do bikur cholim for other people, because God forbid, if we were sick, we would also want people to do bikur cholim. We are menachem aveilim. Biglal adav razeh, person sits shiva, rachman al-islam, so they also want people to come, nicham avelim. And that's true. But what the Rambam is telling us is that's not the exclusive, and perhaps, I would suggest, based on what we're learning from our teachers, Professor Fox, and we'll get to in a minute, Rabbi Wurzberger, that's not the ideal. That's not the kind of life that we want to have. The reason why we're going to do bikur cholim is not because somebody should come to be mevaker cholim when we need it. Why should we do bikur cholim? Because it's the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? Because it's lihidamos liyotzro. It's imitating God. It's being a godly person. The person who acts in that way, they are imitating Hashem Yisbarach. They are more divine. And now I understand why the Rambam, when the Rambam puts v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, he puts it in this context, because v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, you can look at it from two perspectives. You can look at it from the deontological perspective that says, you should do what, like Hillel said, don't do to somebody else what you don't want done to yourself. Even it's interesting, Hillel didn't use the phrase v'ahavta l'rech kamocha. He just said, "Ma'ida alachsani l'chavruch l'savid." So you can look at v'ahavta l'rech kamocha like that. But you can look at it in a different way, which is, what kind of a person am I? What type of a personality am I cultivating? Am I putting it in the Perek Vav in Hilchos Deos, where it goes, the people who seek out sages to hang around with, to connect to greater godliness? Am I a person who is sensitive to Geirim? You know, that kind of person, it's more than just somebody who does a chesed. Maybe you could say it's the difference between a person who's osa chesed and a baal chesed. A baal chesed, that's the kind of person that they are. That's what the Rambam is telling you. V'halachta b'drachav, it's a religious ideal. The Rabbono Shalom expects us to become that kind of person through the v'halachta b'drachav. What an amazing way of living. And that is the ultimate in virtue ethics. That's what the Rambam perhaps is really setting out for us. Yes?
Is it,
that l'fnim mishur ha'sadin is an important component in this, and that's perhaps why we'll get to it in a second. I think he mentions it. One or both of these essays do talk about the Rambam's view on l'fnim mishur ha'sadin, which is a machlokas rishonim, because if you understand that depending on how you understand this mitzvah, it'll affect how you understand going above and beyond. That's the concept of l'fnim mishur ha'sadin. It certainly fits with this. It's an important piece of this. So now, who develops this so beautifully? So there was a rabbi who for many years was in Far Rockaway. His name was Rabbi Walter Wurzburger. Some people in this room knew him. So I brought for you on the bottom just a little bit of a, bring a smile to our face. This is the PDF of the obituary that appeared in the Times, the New York Times. It's hard to believe. It feels like it wasn't that long ago, but it was April 18th of 2002. They note the passing of Rabbi Wurzburger, who was the longtime Rav of Shari Tfila in Far Rockaway. And before that, I think he was a Rav in Toronto. But most famously, I guess, for the guys in YU, he was a professor of philosophy, and he was a close disciple of Rav Soloveitchik. And Rabbi Wurzburger, someone shared with me, Rabbi Eli Schwartz, one of the Chavar HaKol, shared with me this volume this week. It's called Covenantal Imperatives. After Rabbi Wurzburger passed away, they published a collection of his essays. I don't think I ever had the chance to meet him. It's published in 2008. And they collected some of the essays of Rabbi Wurzburger, Zichrono Livracha, and they published them in this volume, and he has an essay, turn to the next page, exactly developing a lot of these ideas that we're talking about. And the essay is entitled, it starts here in the book on page 91, the title of the essay is The Centrality of Virtue Ethics in Maimonides. And the whole essay develops the yesodos that we've been alluding to thus far. Character and virtue. So, top left hand, in view, page 10. In view of Maimonides' penchant for systematic arrangement, it is highly revealing that the section dealing with the cultivation of virtues is located in Sefer Mada, the Book of Knowledge, the first of the 14 books comprising the Mishneh Torah, rather than in parts of the code which treat interpersonal or social obligations. This in itself indicates that Maimonides looked upon virtue not simply as an instrumental value conducive to ethical conduct, but as an independent and intrinsic value to be pursued for its own sake. And then he deals with V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Take a look on the right-hand column. You can see the rest on your own in a little bit. Later on, take the packet, of course, as always. Next column, the belief. The belief that conduct molds attitudes and dispositions is a cornerstone of the Maimonidean ethics. It comes to fore already and in many earliest writings, in the commentary on the Mishnah, etc. He similarly points in the first chapter of Hilchos Deos that morally desirable dispositions can only be acquired by practice. It is through disciplining oneself to act in the proper manner that one ultimately becomes conditioned to appropriate moral virtues, rendering moral conduct completely natural and effortless. Obviously, this opinion echoes the Aristotelian doctrine that virtue is acquired by acting in accordance with the requirements of virtue. But what's the principle, says Rabbi Wurzberger on the first page? The principle is that at the core, it's not being driven by Aristotle, it's being driven by the V'halachta B'drachav. So here is where it comes out. What's Rabbi Wurzberger pointing out? That the Rambam is going to tell us that you need to act in a way, right? It's a book of mitzvahs, a book of acting, but it's actually the reverse. You might think that you're supposed to have a certain attitude so that you act a certain way, because the Rambam is interested in, remember, the Yad is all about mitzvos, but it's the opposite. In Hilchos Deos, you know why you should act in a certain way? Because it cultivates a certain kind of person. You know why you should condition yourself to act in a way that's compassionate? Because by doing that, you will become a more compassionate person. Yeah.
I was actually hung up on that dilemma right there. But that also feeds back to Bilal, that there's a cycle. You can start anywhere in the cycle.
Exactly. So the question is, conceptually, what's in the center? So what Rabbi Wurzberger is pointing out is that it's the virtue ethics that's in the center, because you're refining yourself in this focus, in Hilchos Deos. It's true, all of the interpersonal obligations are there, and they're valuable in themselves for other reasons beyond this. There are many other aspects, and the Rambam won't deny the Biglal HaDavar HaZeh. There is a pragmatic, there is a utilitarian, all those are beneficial. But when we think about, and this is such an amazing and inspired idea, and it's so not easy to do, but that's what the Rambam is calling on us for a life's work, to cultivate that kind of religious personality. The ultimate in the religious personality is the person who is this refined. You know, people who had, you know, you read, I always come back to the image of Rav Ari Levin, for those who haven't read it, A Tzaddik in Our Time, amazing, amazing book. This is a person who was so suffused with the life of Torah that Hilchos Deos, the man was a walking Hilchos Deos. It was a walking Rambam's embodiment of virtue ethics. So yes, it's a circle, but it's what's serving what. It's not that, well, we want to have that personality so that we can go through the motions. It's that we go through the motions so that we can be that kind of person. Now, this is all amazing, but I think it actually has a lot of practical ramifications. Turn to the next page, and this is where we come back to our front cover. There is a godel in psychology. His name is Daniel Goleman. I have one of his books here. It's called Primal Leadership, Learning to Lead with Emotional Intelligence. He's a Harvard guy whose big yesod, his big thing is emotional intelligence. Not so much IQ, but it's rather EI. Some of you are familiar with this. It's a big Torah in the world of psychology today. Everybody loves it. It's great. It's gewaldic. It actually is gewaldic. So what's at the core of emotional intelligence? Four yesodos. And this is why the New York Times used that little graphic in the beginning of the packet, because getting at emotional intelligence is going to get at living a happy life and leading a balanced lifestyle, etc. Oh, very good. So what are the core pieces? The first one is self-awareness. The second one is self-management. The third one is empathy. And fourth one is relationship skills. So this is the basic building blocks of emotional intelligence. Oh. So when I first looked at the full, when I first thought about this, the fullness of Sefer Mada with fullness of Sefer Hilchos Deos, the halachos of Hilchos Deos, I realized that maybe, and now I'm maybe pop-psychologizing the Rambam, so I apologize to him and to us if we're doing that, but maybe it's a good takeaway. The Rambam, once you understand the concept of virtue ethics, and it's about cultivating who you are, the Rambam is actually laying out what it means to be an emotionally intelligent person. Because again, the Rambam starts, in our overview, the Rambam had chapters 1 and 2 of the Halachta B'drachav and being balanced. Chapters 3 and 4 were about healthy living and self-management. A certain way to eat, a certain way to exercise, a certain way to live. Then he went to the Niyug of a Talmud Chacham. And then, in Parakim 6 and 7, he talks about interactions with others, meaning Avas Yisrael, Avas Agerim, Lashon Hara. So what the Rambam is telling us, I think, you take it or leave it, is that you want to have an emotionally intelligent person, So follow Hilchos Deos. Cultivate who you are. Create a healthy self-awareness, a balanced self-awareness, through a life of self-management, which is exactly what living according to Hilchos Deos is all about. And the interpersonal relationships are going to follow. Then be conscious of how you interact with others, how you fit in a greater society. That's a lot about what emotional intelligence is about, is understanding yourself and understanding your place in the context and the constellation of others. So I'm not sure if anybody else is buying this, but I think it's quite plausible that this is really a framework for emotional intelligence, because it's about cultivating ourselves and cultivating ourselves in the context of others with an awareness. The Rambam doesn't emphasize here, it's not so much about Bikur Cholim. That's going to be in Hilchos Avel, how to actually act. But here it's more about cultivating your personality and the way that you think about yourself vis-a-vis others. Maybe. And one final note, and with this we'll conclude, is a fascinating, there's a Catholic philosopher. His name is Alasdair MacIntyre. Great name, and I love him even more because he's Scottish. Gvaldik. See, he was a professor of philosophy for many years in Notre Dame, which is good because that's where his heart lies. He's an extremely firm Catholic. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if they overlap because now he's doing something else. I think he's like a fellow somewhere else. But he's taught everywhere. He's like one of the biggest philosophers. For people who know anything about philosophy, which is not me, but for people who are into this, they're really into it. I just think his name is great, just for starters. So you can go online, by the way. You can go on YouTube and you can actually watch some of his lectures. His great accent, very entertaining, and he's very, very thoughtful, of course. So he, I don't know exactly what connection he has with the Lord, but he and Rabbi Sacks apparently have some kind of connection.
That Lord.
Yes, that Lord. Not that. We don't subscribe to the other one having to do with the wafers, and that's not what we're referring to. His Lord, different. So there was recently a Festschrift that was published, an honorary volume in honor of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. I think it was right after he left, or just as he was finishing being the chief rabbi. It's called Radical Responsibility. So they have a lot of wonderful essays in there. So somebody pointed me toward this essay by this philosopher Alasdair MacIntyre, and he talks about Torah and moral philosophy. Mamish, very chazak, very frum, amazing. So it's a very interesting article. Not all of it is pertinent exactly to what we're talking about, but he's discussing the tension that Rabbi Sacks addresses in a lot of his life's work of between the tension of being a religious person, a frum yid, a rav, but also being a moral philosopher. Because Alasdair MacIntyre, that's what he does for a living. That's his life. He's a moral philosopher. So he talks initially about, on the top right, this is the end of the article, if it is right to live as Torah requires, then it is wrong to live as a utilitarian does, and wrong to live as a Kantian does. Hence, those who aspire to live as Torah requires presuppose by doing so that the arguments of utilitarians and Kantians fail, and fail as philosophical arguments. Their claim to moral truth is incompatible with the claims of Torah. It follows that educated students of Torah should not be indifferent to the outcomes of the debates of moral philosophers, since they have a large stake in those outcomes. How then are those who acknowledge both the authority of the precepts of Torah and their own inescapable commitments within moral philosophy, with regard to some of the very same precepts, to reconcile their unconditional allegiance to those precepts with the recognition that as moral philosophers they have to remain open to the unpredictable outcomes of further argument? How do you deal with moral philosophy while being a frum Jew? So he says an amazing yisod. He says, this philosopher, MacIntyre, he says there are certain core ideas to which both the committed faith community members and the moral philosophers have to agree to. Those are the basics of having a shared conversation, even if it doesn't mean being in agreement. And what are those? Next paragraph. The questions to which Sacks provided answers, and I have in mind here principally, but not only, his essays in The Dignity of Difference are, what kind of person do I need to become if I am to live and act constructively with these two at first sight incompatible sets of attitudes? What virtues are indispensable? Of what vices should I be most aware? The catalog of needed virtues includes responsibility, compassion, and a readiness to both forgive and ask forgiveness from others. Only with these virtues will we be able to listen to and speak constructively with those others with whom we are at odds, whether philosophically, theologically, politically, or morally. And only with these same virtues will we be able to sustain the openness to truth required of the moral philosopher. Yet the demands that those virtues make upon us, whatever our standpoint, are categorical and unconditional. Philosophical openness and unconditional commitment have to be understood not as incompatible, but as each requiring the other. In describing what is involved in the exercise of the relevant virtues, Sachs has identified for us an ethics that is at once not just consistent with the precepts of Torah, but derived from them, and yet is also an ethics that we contemporary practitioners of modern philosophy need if our debates are not to be, in the end, barren. So after all, there are some precepts and virtues to which moral philosophers need to give unconditional allegiance, not as conclusions of their arguments, but as prerequisite for fruitful rather than sterile controversy and inquiry. So where do those come from? What are those virtues? The answer is Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos is the shared conversation between moral philosophers and, of course, Torah Jews. And maybe, one could wonder, this might be why the Rambam preceded Hilchos Avodah Zarah with Hilchos Deos. I mean, he gave us Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, and he's going to give us Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which is, of course, of the most paramount importance. You know, if you're falling down in Avodah Zarah, you have nothing. There's no Judaism. But even before Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam gives us Hilchos Deos to cultivate the kind of person we are, and maybe through a cultivation of Hilchos Deos, you can deal with people who come from different places. Of course, there's no countenancing Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says that you have to be Misharish Acharav, you have to absolutely eradicate idol worship. But it talks about people who have different perspectives and other philosophies. Well, maybe if we are people who embody these values of Hilchos Deos, we can have more fruitful conversations. We can bring that to life. So in summary, what we wanted to develop today is the idea that for the Rambam, at the core of all Deos, of all ethics, is the mitzvah of Halachta Bedrachav. That's what shapes what is the golden mean. That's what shapes what's in the middle. And that's what gives so much meaning to the life of virtue, because it's dafka divine, because it's v'halachta bedrachav. And it's that which informs how we act. And therefore, the acting is just a cultivating of that core moral virtue, the virtues of ethics that we want to cultivate for ourselves. And maybe that's the starting point for developing emotional intelligence and figuring out who we are and then how we find our place among others. And then, maybe one final point that Professor McIntyre points out for us is this idea that using these virtues, they can be a baseline of conversation in a modern context between us who are committed firmly and unconditionally to a life of Torah and others who aren't, but at least we have some basic yesodos, and those are given to us by none other than a great philosopher himself, but of course the Ish Halacha, and that is the Rambam. Hashem Koach. Thank you all for coming. Great to have you.